Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on Blog Talk Radio on every day, sometimes in the afternoon at 3:30 yesterday. Today it's at 5, other times at 6:30, 8 o'clock, or 9:30, or 11. You will get nothing but the facts and the truth here. You will not get media hype. You will not get the big lie. So briefly, let me tell you what I'm going to talk about today. I often talk about theological and philosophical topics because I have an MDiv, Princeton Seminary in Theology, in Biblical Languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. I've devoted a great amount of study and time to this field of theology, and I'm very interested and enthusiastic about it. I also have a law degree, and I'm proceeding to renew my license, and that's about it. I'm going to talk about the fall story in Genesis today. To me, this is a very important story because it traces to the historical event, a cosmic historical event, of the fall of man into sin and wickedness. Now, I'm going to give you a little indication that with three parameters of this show, which I'm concerned with. This show is concerned with, I am concerned, and love great books and great literature. It could be Milton's Paradise Lost. It could be Dante. It could be St. Augustine. It could be the Epistles of Paul. It could be T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society, or John Bunyan, Grace Abounding, his great autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, or St. Augustine's Confessions. Whatever it is, these are great books, and they're worth reading, and I'm very enthusiastic about them. I'm also a Christian, and I'm very, very committed to the Christian faith entirely, 100%. And that isn't to say I don't welcome other faiths and other points of view. For me, Jesus is the salvation of the world, and he loves people. He wants people to be with him in heaven. And as St. Paul said in the letter to Timothy, he wills that all men be saved. That's the bottom line. Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever. Third, I have a political slant here. I'm basically conservative. I'm against abortion. I think it's killing. And I'm not particularly enthusiastic about gay marriage, but I tell you that the bottom line is I believe in the love of Christ for all persons, whatever their views. A woman who has an abortion, she still can be saved by Christ and is worth salvaging and saving because he wants everyone to be saved. That would also be the person, the gay person. I want all gay people to be with me. I would like to be in heaven, and I want all gay people to be in heaven with me or whoever God chooses to save, and he wants to save everyone. Let me now talk about myself a little bit. This is a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for political correctness. We don't go in for the big lie. We don't go in for media lies. We don't go in for political rhetoric. We don't go in for left-wing ideological nonsense. We don't go in for those things. We go in for critical thinking and getting at truth and facts and honest intellectual effort and honest discernment. Second, I am a Christian, as I mentioned to you, and I'm very committed to Christ and his message of love for all people. And I certainly, although I am a Christian, I welcome all faiths, nations, races, peoples, persons. Jesus died for them and gave his life for them, and I accept them all in my Christian faith, as Jesus does. Third, I have a political slant. I do oppose abortion and gay marriage, but that doesn't say I have anything against people who do that. I know Jesus loves them and died for them, and I welcome them into my personhood 100%. But I know that Jesus loves them and died for them, and he wants to be them to be with him, and I want them to be with him, whatever their faith, Buddhist, Islam, whatever they are, whoever they are, Jesus welcomes them in his love. Next, I would like to say that I run a radio show, Blog Talk Radio Show. I used to do a podcast show, and I may continue it in the near future. At this point, I'm not doing it, but I would like to certainly think about it. And I do my Blog Talk Radio Show. I have many visitors from all over the world. That includes many people from Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Malaysia. Many, many Islamic countries visit this show, I'm very happy to say. I have a very close philosophy student friend in Iran who was very interested in my Christian books, which indicates her intellectual ability. not rejecting other points of view. Even though she was a Muslim, she loved and treasured my Christian books, which were available on my site. I also, as I say, I have this radio show, Blog Talk Radio Show, and it attracts many visitors worldwide, I'm very happy to say. And even though it's Christian, I have many, many faiths visiting this show constantly, all over the place. Hello? I can't talk to you right now. I'm working right now. I'm not being disrespectful to you, John. I just can't do it right now, okay? I will call you. Yes, bye. So let me say that I'm very, very enthusiastic about this show. And I certainly wish to attract more foreign visitors of many faiths to this show who wish to hear the Christian faith and are willing to listen to it. And I'm willing to listen to them and know them better than I can know other people and understand them. Next, I would like to talk about that I'm a writer. I have written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. Legal books, select legal topics, volume 1 and 2, and Christian books. They are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables and a book on the Psalms. The parables are wonderful expositions of the mind and thoughts of Christ. They're fascinating. I treasure them. I love them. And I advise you, please read them, absorb them, take time to read the parables of Christ. He has much to say to all people. And particularly if you have a family, if you have children, you go to the library, get a Bible, and read the parables with your child so they can be raised up intellectually rather than pulled down in thinking. Next, which our society does, at this point it brings people into ignorance and darkness and pulls people down. You don't want your children pulled down. You want them raised up. As Mortimer Adler said in a great book, How to Read a Book, he said, we want to read books that are going to stretch our minds and raise us up. That is what we want in books. And those are the great books that will give that to your children. Next, and he also said the Bible is the foundation of Western literature, and that we're looking at images such as television, movies, computers are drugs. He referred to them as drugs, and he was right. There is no replacement for print and books. The reality of thinking cannot be substituted by some kind of picture. You're wasting your time, and you're wasting your family, and you're ruining your family, and you're ruining your children with this sort of information, this sort of presentation. You're wasting your time. Next, I have to say that I wrote this book on the Psalms, also an exposition of 150 Psalms. The Psalms are great, great lyric poetry. They're Hebrew lyric poetry. They're very beautiful. They're well worth reading. I read them in seminary in Hebrew. I enjoyed them, and I enjoy them today. I memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm in Sunday school when I was a young person, 10 to 12 years old. I've never regretted it. And also read the Psalms for their intellectual value. Their intellectual greatness is very great, and they cannot be read more often and more repetitively than they are for you. Read them and reread them and read them again. Read those books, which I just mentioned, the parables of Christ, the commentary on the parables and my commentary on the Psalms. Read them, absorb them, and I'm always learning from reading the Psalms, reading the Bible. I'm always being raised up by the Psalms and the parables. I'm writing other books on my blogs, four books of blogs. I'm writing four books. I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written one chapter of that. The Bible is replete with miracles. It's a supernatural presentation. You cannot enter and understand the Christian faith of the Bible without knowing its supernatural character. Once you've entered the biblical world, you cannot expect the secular world to take over. It won't. because it doesn't apply, period. Next, I'm writing other books. I've written a chapter on New York family law and practice on fraternity. I've written a chapter on evidence, inventors consolidated evidence. I've written an encyclopedia chapter in New York jurisprudence on New York criminal law, demands and notices. I will be writing a commentary on the Book of Job, which is very important to me. And I'm fascinated by the Book of Job. Job was an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish, but he's in the Hebrew canon of scriptures. It's a great book in how God tries and tempts a man in his life. And Job survived these trials and came out fine. Job is a great book. Again, I can urge you, read that book. Don't stop reading these books, but their greatness is so great that you can't even reach the level they present to you. If you can try, but you're not going to get too far unless you really, really focus your mind on these great books I mentioned. I've written three major law review articles on criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review. It's been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court and by many, many institutions throughout the world. I've written two articles in Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, in the United States educational system, which is a failure. It's not helping our kids. Our kids are being ruined by media propaganda for substituted for books and knowledge. And I have to say, I've also written a book, an article on sexual orientation discrimination. I detest any kind of racial discrimination. I may not agree with our gay brothers and sisters, but I'm not prepared to persecute them or discriminate them or hurt them. Not me. I don't believe in it. I reject it. I know that Jesus loves them. Anybody or any of us, unbelievably so. Now, I'm going to talk about briefly, ladies and gentlemen, what the fall of story in Genesis means. Now, if you observe the world, ladies and gentlemen, the reality of the world, not take off your glasses or take off your sunglasses and take a look. You're talking about a world in which there are six genocides in the past 100 years. Rwandan, Armenian, Holocaust, Darfur, many, many genocides. The Russian Revolution is another example, which millions and millions of people have been killed in these events. So you and I are going to have to face up, why did this occur in the world? What is going on in the world that this great evil occurs? Well, you and I are going to have to figure it out, ladies and gentlemen, because it's pretty obvious that the world is a very, very evil place. It is a place of death. It is a place of wickedness. It is a place of destruction. It is a place of aggressiveness and taking and gaining and getting things, people getting things for themselves and not giving too much to other people. They're a minority in our society, in any society. So you have to ask yourself, why is the world in such terrible shape? Why is there so much evil in the world, whether divorces, whether beatings, whether assaults, whether shootings? Every day you read about a shooting in some place in this country. What is going on in this world that there is so much evil and wickedness? Well, the story in Genesis offers an explanation. Many people see a talk about a snake and some kind of an event in a garden as a lot of mythological fairy tales. Well, I don't think it's fairy tales. I think it's a very profound story, a very deep story, in which God has come down to us and is trying to tell us, in this story of Adam and Eve and their fall from grace into wickedness, God is trying to explain to us that something went radically wrong in the divine plan. He tells us that he created us, but he tells us in Genesis that we're failures. He tells us that we're failed, that we fell into sin, for want of a better word, sin, that we're a mess, really. He's trying to explain to us why we are a mess. And I think the explanation is a good one. He says that Satan, which I think is a force of evil. We have to understand there are forces of evil in the world. There are significant forces of evil in the world. It's obviously true. If you don't believe in the reality of evil and the forces of evil, I think you better open your eyes and leave the house and figure things out for yourself. Genesis offers an explanation. The explanation is that this snake, in the guise of a force of evil, tells Adam and Eve that they will be like gods if they eat of this tree. If they disobey God's commandment, they will be like a god and equal to God. And that was really what happened with Lucifer. We're told that's what happened with Lucifer and the rebellion of the angels. He didn't want to be under God. He wanted to be equal or above God. It's a very common human failing, and that failing is pride. That we're told in that story that Satan, this evil force, this evil person, in the guise of a snake, we're told he came in the guise of a snake. I don't know whether he was a snake, but it was told us, that's how he was operating on, that he told Adam and Eve they would be like a god, they ate of this tree. And they bought into it. So what was the issue, really, that brought about this evil and wickedness into the world, and is still bringing evil and wickedness into the world? It is human pride. The sense to be important. The idea, I'm going to be great. I'm going to be top dog. This is a great human failing, pride. And that's what brought about sin and wickedness and evil into the world. It brought death into the world. It brought volcanoes. It brought disease. It brought everything bad into this world because it messed up the entire creation by disobeying God. The problem was disobedience. That was part of it. But also the main problem was the Satan's appeal to these people's pride, which they believed in and bought into. And people still, in their pride, buy into the desire to be important, to be the great ones, to be above God. It's still occurring every day, and Satan appeals to all of us in our pride. That was the issue. That was the failing. That is the human failing. It's the failing of us all. Pride, importance, self-love, whatever you want to define it as. Not love for other people, but love for yourself. That is really what is going on in this story. I advise you to read the story, ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis 2 and 3. Take a look at it, and you will see that God is he's trying to tell us in this series of events that something went radically wrong, very wrong, and brought about this horrible, evil world we live in, where evil reigns and Satan reigns. And we will only, there only be, maybe one would hope that there will be an end of this system of evil that dominates people and drives them to the ground. Well, we're living in a system right now where people don't read, I think. They don't read, they don't want to know things. They want to be ignorant and stupid, or at least ignorant, and they don't know it, they're ignorant. If they knew it, they may not have chosen it, but they may not choose pride or sin or evil or wickedness, but many people do. And that's the issue that God presents in this story as to why we have been brought up, why we are a failed species, why we are not good, but we are rather bad. And as I say to you, it's very important that our children be given books to read, the great books, whether War and Peace, whether Milton's Paradise Lost, whether E.M. Foster, Passage to India, whether T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society, whether John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. These are the great books. Give them to your kids. Expose them and stretch their minds to where they can function and learn effectively and not be made fools of by our system. I hope they will read this story in Genesis. It's very significant. We can all learn much from this series of events in Genesis. We can all be stretched in our minds into the reality of really what is going on in the world. That is what this story tells us, and it's advisable to read it, have your family read it, absorb it, and understand what is really going on, which this story tells us. Hope you enjoyed this talk. I will be talking again tomorrow night about something else.